Let's read together Jeremiah chapters 44 and 45. In Jeremiah chapter 44, we have Jeremiah's prophecy of judgment on the unrepentant people of Judah who had fled to Egypt. And in Jeremiah chapter 45, we have Jeremiah's exhortation from the Lord to Baruch, who was seeking great things for himself. Let's begin by reading the first 14 verses of Jeremiah 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwell in the land of Egypt, who dwell at Migdol, at Tophanes, at Memphis, and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers. However, I have sent to them all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. Now therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant out of Judah, leaving none to remain, in that you provoked me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for catastrophe and for cutting off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive, lest they return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return and dwell. For none shall return except a few refugees. Let's begin our study of these chapters, Jeremiah 44 and 45, with some background notes. We saw in Jeremiah chapters 42 and 43 that the people of Judah, who were not taken away as captives to Babylon, ignored and disobeyed Jeremiah's word from the Lord to stay in Jerusalem. Instead, they fled to Egypt, taking Jeremiah with them. We saw in verse 7 of chapter 43 that they settled in Tophanes, which was in the northeast delta area of Egypt. Now we see in verse 1 of chapter 44 that the Jewish refugees have spread out in Egypt, even to the area of Pathros, which would be in upper or southern Egypt. Therefore, the events and writing of this chapter in Jeremiah would probably be about 580 BC, at least 5 years after Jerusalem had fallen and after the refugees of Judah had fled to Egypt. Now, you might think that these refugees would have learned their lesson and stopped their idolatry and turned back to the Lord in repentance, but such was not the case. In spite of God's warnings in the past through his prophets, verse 4, and in spite of Jeremiah's continued warnings now in Egypt, the people continued to provoke the Lord to anger by sacrificing to foreign gods and idols that they had made with their own hands, verse 8. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point from Jeremiah chapter 44. God's warning will surely precede his unfailing judgment. God's warning will surely precede his unfailing judgment. Let's continue reading verses 15 through 19. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you, but we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. The women also said, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? The Queen of Heaven, by the way, in these verses, was the female deity Ashtaroth, goddess of fertility. Can you believe it? Even though God in his grace continued to send the people warnings, they had the audacity to tell Jeremiah that they were not going to listen, even though they knew the message was from the Lord. In fact, they were convinced that their present problems were because they had stopped their idolatrous sacrifices, probably a reference to Josiah's short-lived revival in 621 BC, before the fall of Jerusalem. The truth was that their present problems were because they had failed to heed the continuous warnings and predictions of coming judgment that the Lord sent through his servants, the prophets. Didn't they realize that they were only continuing to bring great harm on themselves and their children and their descendants? Verse 7. Had they forgotten how God had to judge the wickedness of their fathers and the kings of Judah? Verse 9. Therefore, God's judgment was sure to follow. Only a few refugees would return to Judah. The rest would die in Egypt. Verse 14. But they could never say that God did not send them a warning. God's judgment for sin is unfailing, but he always gives plenty of warning. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. Judgment will surely come upon the unsaved, but no one will be able to say that God did not send many warnings. God's warning will surely precede his unfailing judgment. Doctrinal point number 2, God's judgment will surely follow his unheeded warning. God's judgment will surely follow his unheeded warning. Verses 20 through 23, Jeremiah chapter 44, beginning now with verse 20. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you burned in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come into his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolation, an astonishment, a curse, and without an inhabitant, as it is this day. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies, therefore this calamity has happened to you as at this day. Hardly could a more clear warning be given to these Jewish refugees in Egypt than what God gave them here through Jeremiah the prophet. They could not deny that all of this ruin and calamity that had come upon them and their land was because they had not obeyed the Lord and they had not walked in his law. Therefore, because they continued to turn a deaf ear to God's warning, they would be further judged and punished in Egypt. Verses 24 through 30. Let's read these verses. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives. Behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escaped the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for adversity. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life. These predictions of judgment, of course, did take place. Pharaoh Hophra, in whom these refugees had placed their hopes, was killed in a revolt, and eventually Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded and defeated Egypt. Only a few surviving Jewish refugees were able to return to Judah. Then the people knew the word of God's judgment was sure, and not their unrepentant wishful thinking. Verse 28. Now let me ask you, is it possible that you are not heeding God's warning about his coming judgment? God's judgment will surely follow his unheeded warning. Our practical application comes from chapter 45. Don't seek great things for yourself. Don't seek great things for yourself. Let's read this short chapter. The word that Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the instruction of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch, you said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, behold, what I have built, I will break down, and what I have planted, I will pluck up. That is, this whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them. For behold, I will bring adversity on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as a prize in all places wherever you go. Notice from verse 1 of this chapter that we are going back in time to the fourth year of King Jehoiakim. This would be in reference to the events recorded in chapter 36 of Jeremiah, where Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, had written down Jeremiah's words. Apparently, Baruch was feeling sorry for himself, especially after writing all these prophecies of coming judgment. Baruch had been hoping for a life of more ease and comfort, with some distinction for being an educated scribe with official connections. The Lord's word to Baruch was, don't seek great things for yourself. Just be thankful that you will survive this coming disaster and not be killed. Now, this word of the Lord to Baruch in that day certainly has a lot of application for us today, doesn't it? Are we seeking great things for ourselves, even making a name for ourselves or gaining some distinction for ourselves in Christian circles? Listen, let's not seek great things for ourselves. Let's be content with the role and the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And let's be thankful for the many blessings that the Lord has graciously sent our way. Don't seek great things for yourself.